You are listening to Clearly Connected, a podcast that inspires new ways to reconnect to ourselves, to others, and to our environment in a world where so many of us are disconnected. I'm your host, Carrie Doan. I'm a life coach, an entrepreneur, an advocate for change, and a believer in all things possible. Today, I'm joined by my guest, Amanda Kogan, to debunk the myth of our culture that says we have to push, hustle, and work really hard to get to a life that we love. She and I believe that there's a much easier way to realize success and happiness, and it's all about getting in the flow. I'm so glad you're here to join us as we move closer to a more deeply connected way of living. Welcome, welcome, all you beautiful people. Today, I am so excited about the podcast because I get to bring back one of my closest friends. This is her third time appearing on the show, and she also happens to be one of the wisest women that I know. So we are going to talk about a perspective on life that she and I both not only believe in, but have managed to integrate into our day-to-day lives. And that is the notion that life can be easy. And by easy, I mean that, you know, we don't have to push and hustle and try so damn hard to get the things that we want out of life, which of course, you know, goes against all the messages that we hear in our productivity-driven culture. So she and I want to debunk those as a myth and give you some simple reframes to help you see that life just doesn't have to be hard, even regardless of your circumstances. So before we dive in, I'm going to introduce you to my very special guest, Amanda. Amanda is an intuitive energy healer. She's a Reiki practitioner, a singer-songwriter, and a director of the Shake and Shine Festivals in San Diego. She's passionate about deeply connecting with people and lovingly drawing out their authentic self. Amanda, I'm so glad to have you back again for round three.
Woohoo! Thank you, Carrie, so much for having me.
Yes. You and I have been talking about this for a while now. And I think we both tend to get fired up about this concept because I think I come across people all the time who are just beat down by life and things feel heavy and hard. And I think somehow you and I have come to capture a different angle that we don't have to operate that way. And so you're the perfect person to have in this conversation. How about we dive in like I always do? And if you don't mind to, you know, share a story maybe from your life about how you've made the transition from things being heavy and hard to simple and light, and maybe like a practical story from your experience that can illustrate that.
Yeah. I just love this topic so much. And I just want to say like how perfect it is to be talking about it on a full moon and lunar eclipse day, which I know this won't be released today, but it's perfect to talk about kind of letting go of this outdated, I think, idea during this time. I think the best story for me to share, honestly, in this, I think I want to share about my cottage first. So basically my whole idea is that everything can be fun, light, and easy. And I truly believe that we are meant to operate on that frequency. And that when we take the time to be still, that we can read our intuitive spirit and go from there. And that's when the best opportunities come. This idea of just being open to whatever comes to me is something I've been practicing for a while. And in January, I suddenly kind of broke up with my partner of 3 years and happened to find myself in Ocean Beach, which is this beach town in San Diego, and was sitting on this wall by the ocean. And I just went there to journal and be with myself. And I had gone into this coffee shop beforehand and noticed this woman come in, and there was something about her energy and her beautiful curly blonde hair. And I just had a really warm vibe about her. And there she was sitting on this wall a few minutes later. And I decided to sit closer to her than these drunk men down the street on the same wall. And just over time, we naturally started, struck up a conversation. She was reading a book and I was journaling, and basically shared some of our life story in a few, like 30 minutes of time, and realized that we're on a very similar life journey. And she's newly becoming a healer and coming out of her chiropractic business. And there was just so many similarities between us. So fast forward now, a few months later, we kind of just kept in contact, texting each other, and finally were able to meet up for coffee. And mind you, I have been wanting to live alone. Even before, when I was in a relationship, I've been wanting to live alone for a really long time. There's something that's been calling to me to have this space. And so I've been looking for a place, and I was looking for a place to live, and ideally a place in Ocean Beach that was my own. And this woman and I have coffee together, and by the end of our conversation, she's saying how she is going back to Chicago and only wants to be there part-time. She would love to be able to keep her place because she loves it so much, but can't afford to pay full rent while without it being used. And within the span of that conversation, we basically discussed what it would look like for me to move into her place and share rent, basically, so that she could come back when she wants. And this place is furnished, and it's standalone, meaning I don't share walls with anyone. I'm literally 3 minutes walking from the beach. And like that all happened in, I moved in within a week of us having that conversation. And it just was this like one of those magical moments where I didn't have to fill out many applications, and I didn't have to live with my mom for an extra month, and I didn't have to be putting out my friends out by being on their couches, and I'm not paying the full rent. And so it's just like, for me, that was such a magical moment of how being in a flow and allowing opportunities to come your way can manifest into something really magical that I honestly could never have pictured for myself.
I love these kinds of stories. I, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I released a podcast on manifestation. So this kind of, I think it closely aligns with that. Mm-hmm. It's the idea of not pushing, not trying so hard, that there are so many opportunities out there if only we can see them and notice them and listen to maybe a little impulse we have and follow that. And that's exactly what your story showcases. It's like you wanted this thing and you were open to it and you didn't push, you just allowed it. And it's way better than you could have predicted. And there's, like you said, use the perfect word, there's like a magical aspect of it that feels serendipitous and beyond like what you would have even wished for. So I love that story, and I'm sure you have probably many more, but that one's such an obvious example of that.
So I
guess I want to share too, now that we're on the thread of housing, because I think I've shared this story before on this podcast, but I had a similar situation a couple years ago. Right after my separation with my ex, I was temporarily living in my friend's guest bedroom, had no idea where I was going to plant myself. And the market, there weren't many properties available. And I had no idea, like, where am I going to find a place? How am I going to make this work? And one day I was at my friend's house a few blocks from where I lived, and I knew they were moving. And so I asked her, I said, what are you guys doing with this house when you plan to move? And she's like, I don't know. We're going to either sell it or rent it. And I said, okay. And I left that conversation. And as I remember, as I was driving away, I had this feeling like, huh, you should ask her if you can buy it. And so I got home and I did. And she was like, sure, we can talk about that. So we had these conversations, and you know, everything wasn't like absolutely seamless. There were some challenges with the financing from the bank, which typically there always are, but at the end of it, it all just naturally locked into place. I didn't really even have to go searching that hard for it. It came to me in a way, or the curiosity just opened up space for it to happen. And again, this is similar to yours, where it's like, I couldn't have picked a better spot. It's exactly what I wanted. It's the size that I needed. I love my neighbors. It's just like, beyond what I could have imagined would have turned out. And it was easy. It was quite easy. So anyways, I wanted to share my story as well, because I mean, these are just two examples, but I think, and let me know your thoughts on this, like these opportunities are around us all the time. And so what would you say we need to do? Or do we need to, yeah, I don't want to say an action step, or what's a posture that we can have that can help us make the shift from, you know, thinking we have to push to being open to receive?
I think it takes a lot of being still, actually. So meditation is something that I believe gets you into a receiving state so that you can actually hear the intuitive messages being given to you. And I start my days with meditation, but I think throughout the day, coming back to yourself in however you can do that, like sometimes in the car, it's a great place to just kind of come back to your Zen, so to speak. And mm-hmm. because we're constantly in this hustle, like go, go, go society, and like our calendars are full from start to end. And often we don't leave room for inspiration, mm-hmm. for intuition, for new opportunities, new possibilities. And so I think a little bit of spaciousness as well, and letting go of some control, are those kind of main things. So
I totally agree with you. I love how you're saying that, because that is the nature of our society, I think, is this, you know, full steam ahead, maximize every moment, which there's an element to that that is nice, like you're optimizing your life, but are you really choosing intentionally the things that are right for you? And until you create space and allow that openness to exist, you're just going to be on autopilot. Maybe that's another way to say it, is you're pushing, you're on this autopilot. You're not really hearing and sensing the other opportunities, the easier ones that might be available to you, because you're in this other mode. So I do too. I want to camp out for a minute on this idea of control, because I think anytime that we are exerting that, we're disallowing the ease, you know, that creates its own kind of, what would you call it? Resistant energy, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Forcing things, you know, or wanting them to look a certain way. So that, again, doesn't allow for them to look even better than you have in your mind. I think that we often are so conditioned to how it is supposed to be, that and hearing people say like, if you don't make it happen, no one will. And like, nothing comes without hard work. And like all these just things that we have in our brain that are telling us like, you keep moving, keep pushing, keep forcing. And I think the word I would love to come back to is intention. Like, I think there's intentional energy that we can expend, and focused energy. But once it becomes push and force, and like, I have to make it this way in order for whatever, my ego to be happy, or to feel fulfilled, or for my family to appreciate me, whatever those things that are driving us. I think if we can take a big step back from all of that and just, again, be like, well, what am I really about? And what do I really desire out of life? And what's fulfilling me and filling my energetic cup? those are the questions we could be asking ourselves. And I think that kind of takes away some of that force energy.
Yes. Yeah, I completely agree. And I was, as you're talking, I'm thinking about, you know, why I wanted you to have this discussion with me. Because when I look at the way that you live your life, from my angle, you seem to just kind of flow, right? Like you're open, you're trusting, you're sensing what's happening around you. And it just like carries you from moment to moment into all these interesting experiences and adventures. And there, I don't ever perceive like anxiety or concern. And so I'm wondering, like, can you tell me, I'm assuming you've not always been like this. Like, what has allowed you to become more of that person over time?
Yeah, it has been a journey. I think not ever really living my life conventionally has helped. So I've worked and flowed with like industry jobs and serving and playing music and booking music. And, you know, I've never had this like 9-to-5 job. So structure has never been something that I need in my life. I saw it growing up. My dad had a normal job, you know, he worked his butt off and made money and brought money home. My mom stayed home, even though she was trained as a lawyer. Like, so it's like I grew up in that more traditional mode, but for myself, and maybe because I grew up in a family that allowed me to play a little bit more. I think part of me not ever being so rigid around how it has to look, I've kind of always followed my heart, I think. And I am one who loves to have fun. And so it's really hard for me to make myself do something I don't want to do. So that those aspects of myself, I think, carry over into how I have avoided being weighed down maybe by what most of society says we should be doing to make money. I will say that financially, it is a struggle sometimes, and I have come up against stress around it and felt the pressures of my family being like, when are you going to get a real job? And, you know, you don't have a 401k and you don't have these things. And honestly, I think because I have such a deep spiritual root and foundation in source and knowing that I am always taken care of, I really rest in that so much, and it keeps showing up to me. And so I'm trying to think of like a time where it just like switched completely. Definitely. I want to say around right before COVID and getting divorced and things, there was this time period of when you're so out of control, you can either go into complete anxiety and overwhelm or surrender. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what happened, is I really in that time period was like, well, I really have no control over what's happening in my life. And if I surrender to this, then that feels better than trying to force something that I can't.
Yeah, I love that you just highlighted that, because I think that is the crux of it, or a huge part. Because what is the opposite of control? It's surrender. And even breaking it down to like on a psychological level, I think that we spend, I don't know, the first half of our lives or a couple decades building up our sense of ourself and our ego. And a lot of that involves like learning how to control your environment and get certain responses, but that only takes you so far before it becomes, I guess, counterproductive. Like it serves you to a point, and then you got to start to let it go, or that will create a lot of stress. And so that's when this invitation, I think, for a lot of people can come through a crisis, like a divorce, like you said, or a death, where you're kind of faced with, oh, I can keep holding on really tight and continue to add pain to my world, or I can let go and open myself, which is terrifying for a lot of people because they've controlled things their whole lives. I know I've been there. But when you do, then it's like things just start to feel easier, right? It's like you realize I'm okay. I don't have to try so hard. I don't have to push so hard. I can just be, and I'm enough, and there's enough, kind of like connected to that abundant mindset. And so I think this is a huge piece of like making that transition. Probably there's also another piece of loving yourself, you know, doing the inner work to notice your thoughts, your feelings, nurturing who you are. And then, yeah, letting go at the end of the day, which allows for more openness too. So, and when you're open, you see things different and you see opportunities like the woman you ran into who now provided you with housing. So let's talk about that for a second. Like this idea of how our perception is a factor in this, like how to change the way that you see to expand out so that you don't miss the moments that are like here to serve you and support you, that you don't have to like go press to figure out necessarily. Like, how do you see that playing into this expanding your vision around, I don't know, your reality, I guess?
Yeah. I mean, the vision that just came to me is like blinders on a horse. Like I think so many of us are walking around with this very like blinders on the sides of our faces, like going in one direction, thinking these are the steps, this is where I'm going, this is where I'm heading. And I think what this new perception, this new idea is taking those off and being completely open to the fact that the best path is actually to the left of you that you could not even see by looking the way you've been looking. And so like what you're saying is this openness, this allowing of really, I call it creativity, like creativity and inspiration and intuition to come in, is the only way that can happen is when we open ourselves up to not having it be the way that we want it to be or think it should be.
Yes. I love that. Like, okay, here's a question though. Let's say there's an overwhelmed, overworked, busy mom listening, and she's like taking care of a million things, so many demands. And she's like, how do I even get close to that? There's too much here on my plate. What would you say to someone like that? Or it could be anybody. It could be a woman in her career and she's climbing the corporate ladder and has all this pressure from the executives above her. How do I get out from under the demands and get to that place of ease? What would you say?
Oh, it's hard, especially in these moments, because I think when you're in such a state of overwhelm and such a state of pressure and stress, it's hard to acknowledge that this too shall pass. We are spiritual divine beings in a physical body. Like taking yourself into a bird's eye view, if you can, that's really my best way of saying it. Like for myself, if I can come out of my body for 5 minutes, and what I mean is just say like, whoa, take a big step back from what's happening in your life and like, what's really important, what's really going on, what's really that stressful. Often it's not everything that we've made it out to be. I also tend to not live in such a 3D reality. So I truly believe that we co-create our experience and create our experience. So what I would say to these women is, when you're looking at your schedule, when you're looking at your life, like give yourself 5 minutes in the morning, find time, close the door to the bathroom, like take 5 minutes to just breathe and breathe and give yourself something to hold on to anchor back into yourself around like who you are, whether that is I'm a badass mom, wife, CEO of my life, like I'm capable, I'm resilient. So like taking your time to get grounded and then hype yourself up and then look at your schedule and take something off. Mm-hmm. And someone described this to me one time is like, you can't really, you know, we talk about priorities and all these things, and often it doesn't feel like they're so linear, right? Like you can't just be like, no, this is my top priority always, but there are different balls that we're juggling, and some are glass and some are rubber. They're not all glass at all times. And so in these moments, when you are a mom and maybe you have a sick child and the rest of your life is like, you have to put that on hold, right? Like we create space for things we need to do. So if you can look at life that way, where it's like, I am always the sick child who needs care. And if I'm feeling that way, how would I make space if I were caring for a sick child? Right? Like, I think getting back into your body and your mind of being like, I have control over my life. You can take steps towards creating space for yourself. I mean, we could have a whole boundaries conversation.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, those were the words I was thinking in my mind is boundaries and asking for help, which historically, I think a lot of women in particular struggle with those two things. It is the way to like be able to create the space, like you said, to assess what is all that important. And then maybe even ask yourself, why do I think all of this is important? Like, is it really? Is it all that urgent? Or is that coming from my ego, maybe trying to prove something or feel validated by someone else? I mean, you helped me with this in the past week where I had a very intense month and created a lot of pressure with the demands of my life. And I do think there are these seasons that are more intense as we grow and change. But also when it gets to that point of overwhelm, to be able to like step back, and you said it to me, you said, what can you take off your plate? And immediately I'm like saying no to that. I'm pushing that out. I'm taking this off. And over a couple of days, I created that space. The equanimity in my whole body started to return. My perception started to expand, and I'm able to tap into pleasure again. But when I was trying to control and like taking too much on, it takes all of that away. It constricts and narrows your focus. So kind of going back to that whole idea of space is so important to even be able to see. And you can't get there if you have a jam-packed schedule. Every hour of your life is consumed with something. So,
yeah. And I just want to add real quick, I think we often put so much into how other people are going to react to us. So I offer, like, we often are like, oh my God, but if I say no to that, then they won't like me, or they won't ask me again. Or if I let this person down this time, you know, we go into that mode so quickly. And my number one mantra for myself and for my friends is, whatever is best for your highest good will also be best for their highest good. 100% of the time, always. So like, so taking your power back and not allowing other people to have that control over you, so that you don't feel that guilt or shame or whatever was going to come up around canceling something or saying no to something. Because when you're saying yes to yourself, that is when all of the beauty and magic starts coming. I just promised you.
Yes, preach it. It's so true. It's so true. And again, like, especially as women, like going against that narrative that to prioritize the self is selfish in a negative way is just so counterproductive, counterintuitive, but that's where so much of our health and well-being can take shape and expand. So I love that you're saying it that way, because those boundaries are so key. And we sometimes get back in that pattern, got to write yourself again and say, no, I need to do what's right for me. And then other people will follow suit. So, okay, before we get into the final parts of this discussion, I want to touch on something that you and I talk a lot about, which is the masculine versus the feminine energy. Because I think, this is my theory, that our society is predominantly bent towards more masculine, let's just call it energy or behaviors, which I would connect to more of this pushing, hustle culture, productivity, competition, a more of a type of aggressive, I guess, tone to it. And so, you know, we talk about how to balance both of those. What does it look like to have a balance of masculine and feminine? How can the feminine rise up more? Which I think is what we're talking about, this ease and the flow of life or a way of being. So I don't know. I'd love to hear your general thoughts on that. And then the difference between the toxic and the divine masculine and feminine.
Yeah. This has been coming up for me so much lately. I am a fully love divine feminine lately. And the thing about divine feminine is that it is flow and it's ease and it's nurturing, but it is also chaos. And it is this passion and it's fire and it's creativity and it's a lot of energy, and it's just kind of goes everywhere, gets all over everyone all the time, right? And so with the masculine and why it's so necessary, which is something I've been fully embracing lately, is it really sets the container for all of that to happen in a way that is focused and moving forward and allowing the flow to actually take you to where you want to go, instead of just flowing all over the place. Mm-hmm. I think if I could offer this, the river metaphor,
yes,
I think that would help me. So I think of divine feminine as a river flowing, and the masculine is the riverbed holding the water. And really that is the direction allowing the river to flow in its fullest and most beautiful and in a way that's not flooding our, you know, the villages and flooding people's homes and it's moving towards something, right? So that is like what a beautiful idea of the divine masculine and feminine working together. And how I think that looks in what we're talking about is, you know, being open, and you want to be open, but if you're out there open to just anything and everything all the time without any kind of idea of what you're wanting or the feeling tone or the, you know, the goals that you have, those are the masculine that are kind of offering that riverbed to structure you. And then the flow gets to keep going where it wants. And you know, gathering all the nutrients from the things along the side and all the things, right? You know, a river does, while staying safe, I guess is the word I want to use.
Yes. Yeah, I love that image because it really illustrates that kind of what the masculine is, kind of this guiding, protective aspect. And then the feminine just kind of goes with it, right? And there's this nice interplay between the two that allows for you to get to what you want or where you want to go with it. Carries you. You don't have to push. And I can kind of just like almost feel it in the imagery of what you're describing. So, you know, as we have talked before about the toxic aspect, let's say, for example, of the masculine, that errs more towards this controlling, hustling, pushing, forcing, dominating, overpowering way of being. And you can see that in our politics. You can see it in the systems in our society. And so I think that's what's there. And so what you and I talk about quite often is this, how do we allow for the feminine to be more fully expressed, where the phrase or the voice that says we don't have to do it that way, like we can show up in our, this ability to allow, to receive, to be open and kind of offset some of that more intense, aggressive energy. Does that, I don't know, does that sit with you in the same way, or what kind of thoughts do you have around that?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that we're living in a toxic masculine world. And so a lot of people don't even know, first of all, what divine masculine looks like, and also don't know how to tap into it for themselves, while allowing the feminine to still flow. So another metaphor a friend of mine gave me recently was, she's like, I want to be like the oak tree, grounded, rooted, but my limbs are free to flow. So this, like, again, this like rooted and grounded in something, but also free flowing and allowing the wind to hit you and like new insights to come. And in this culture, like if you think about boardrooms and how we have these, this one person kind of leading the way has how it's been. There's no room for collaboration there and new creations. And so I think there is this idea of like, because when I think about divine masculine and feminine working together, I think of a room where everyone is throwing ideas together towards the same goal. But now you have all of these voices that are available to you with their own creative spark and their own spirit, and they're not being pushed down because it's whatever, right? Like there's, I think there's just more opportunity if we can start leaning into this more open feminine way of being together, that is how community is born. That's how new ways of new systems are born, new ways of being. Like, I think that it opens up this opportunity for us to really heal collectively, ultimately.
I love that picture. It's, yeah, because our society is so much, it's so steeped in that competitive, maybe scarce mindset even, or controlling things. And so what would it look like to introduce more of this other, the other side of the polarity, to be expressed? I think so much healing is possible if we can get there. But you're right, it is, it feels like an outdated society. So it's time for something new to be born. Yes. So, okay, one final thought before I get into my last questions I want to ask you is, tell me, how does appreciation or gratitude fit into this equation of making life easy?
Oh, it's like this, like the secret sauce, honestly. I think when you, because appreciation and gratitude is the highest vibration you can get into, like the quickest. First of all, it's just for energetically, it's a great way to snap yourself out of stress, overwhelm, anxiety, is just to find at least one or two things you're grateful for in your life. And for me, it's a practice when I get anything that I am like perceive as magical. So like the parking spot in front, or, you know, someone offers me a gig that from 10 years ago, or just these opportunities that come out of nowhere, I am just immediately so grateful and say, thank you so much, universe, for this gift. And I really believe that when we do that, it's like this reciprocal thing, right? So like, if someone gives you something and you don't say thank you, why would they keep giving you things? And the universe isn't that petty, but I do believe that when we are saying thank you and being grateful and really leaning into that, like it opens us up even more to more good things happening. And you're in that shift, in that vibrational mode of like, yes, life is good right now. And so life is going to show up to you good. You know, it's almost like a life hack, really.
Yeah. I often think in like finance terms, and it's, to me, it's like compound interest, where like when you can get into that place, feeling it in your body and in your emotional landscape, the gratitude, the even for the tiniest things, it opens up, what would I call it? It opens up this kind of like world of possibilities, and then has the ability to exponentially allow you to be able to receive more or to experience more or feel more of all of that good stuff. There's this compounding effect, I think, if you can camp out there. And that's where you really get into like the next level of life being easy. It's not just easy. It's actually like pleasurable. It's fun. It's blissful. So you're right. I think it is this kind of gateway or door that you can just open at any point. You want to leave the hard behind.
Yeah. And I guess I want to offer too, appreciating the hard things too, right? Is part of this journey. Like, leaning into the fact that everything is either growth, you know, or expansion. And that's been something lately, like I've been on a dating journey and I'm like, I'm just really grateful to all these things that are triggering me, you know, I still got work to do, you know, like, and just feeling grateful that there's contrast, I guess.
Yes.
Taking life less seriously, right? Really, like, that's what I want to say is, like, play with life more.
Yes, truly. I mean, these are simple mindset shifts that I think we can do. I love what you said when you can reframe a hard, like an obstacle or a hard situation and spin it into gold for your favor. Like saying, essentially, what is this here to teach me? How can I benefit from this hard thing? Nothing can get to you. It's like you create a sort of force field around yourself where everything is working out to your advantage and your growth. So yes. Yeah, I think that mindset shift is huge if you can get there and just not allow the external news or circumstances infiltrate your mind with drama and anxiety and really protect it so that you can continue to flow and expand in the ways that you see yourself and your, I don't know, your world, I guess. So, oh gosh, that is a great place to just end that because I mean, I'm so grateful just to have this conversation with you and the wild adventures you and I have had. It's like, one day we are going to write a book of all the serendipity and the places we've been in such a short span of time. It's really remarkable. And I'm really happy to have this conversation with you to be able to talk about this because I think so many people are struggling and it's like, it doesn't have to be that way. Mm-hmm. So I want to end by asking you the same questions I ask all of my guests, which number one, Amanda, what are you up to today that has you excited?
Ooh, so many things. I am in the process of kind of organizing my life, truly. I'm adding in the divine masculine right now. So I'm going to be leading some mini day retreats and doing some coaching sessions out of my home. I'm doing energy boost sessions online for people, which has been really fun. And then musically, I'm got things going on where I'm playing with the cover band right now. We're playing hip hop and R&B. So I get to kind of just let my voice fly, which has been really great. And writing new music and recording. So those are the things that have me really excited right now. Music and coaching, I guess, are my passions I'm lit up by.
So basically, you're just living the dream.
Living the dream.
That's how it sounds. I can relate, my friend.
Yes.
I love it. I love it. Okay. And I want to be able to let people know where they can find more about you or your content, your music. What's a good spot where they can track you down?
Yeah. Instagram is my friend these days. I am on Facebook. Shake and Shine Fest is for my Shake and Shine festivals. And then Amanda Kogan Music on Instagram is where you can find music and where I'm playing around town and find my Spotify stuff. So yeah, I would say those are the two.
Well, okay. I'm going to be posting all of those in the show notes. And let me just attest to your energy boost sessions because they are legit. Amanda has this incredible ability to, especially if you're like in a narrow perception of your life, or you're feeling low, or maybe you're lacking confidence. I don't know how you do it, you magical witch you, but you have this ability to totally shift a person's energy in a less than an hour session. So I cannot recommend your work enough. I mean, amongst all the other things that you're doing, but I personally have reaped so much of the rewards of your gift and your ability to help elevate people's emotional experience. So I'm going to be posting that in the show notes so people can hopefully find you and have that amazing experience of their own. And I just want to say, my friend, Amanda, it has been, again, like such a pleasure to have you here talking about this easy, flowing way of living we can tap into whenever we want. You know, it's this, it's such a countercultural way to live. And yet I just so appreciate you sharing your journey and these insights that you have gleaned along the way as you've discovered and integrated this way of living into your life. So I'm really grateful for your time here today.
Thank you so much for having me, Carrie. I appreciate you and love this conversation.
Yes, me too. Me too. And so everyone, I just invite you to check out Amanda's Instagram and all of the badass things that she's creating and what she's up to. And I just thank you for taking the time to tune into this episode. And until the next time, I encourage you to remember that things don't have to be so hard, and that you can at any moment let go and get into the flow of life. If this episode resonated with you, I have something that you might love. Part of what helps me live a life free of stress and anxiety is embracing genuine connection with myself and others. Building a coaching business centered on this principle has sparked many of my clients to their own success while offering me the passion of getting to do what I love every day. If you're looking for support to overcome your own anxiety and overwhelm, I invite you to check out my new 12-week program, Connect to Your Core, where I help you discover what it is that you truly want and support you to have authentic and empowered relationships. I'll link it in the show notes, so check it out if you're interested. And I'm so glad you joined us. So remember to stay connected.